Bible, and we're here talking about worship these days and encouraging each other with how to keep our hearts centered and surrendered on God in a posture of worship, because in this time, as never before, we need to keep ourselves in a posture of worship. I don't know if you noticed, but last week we also read Romans 12, 1-5. And this week we read Romans 12, 1-5. And I would encourage you, if you feel like a passage sometimes is speaking to you, don't go on to the next passage. Just stay there. Because sometimes God begins to speak to us, but we're too much in a hurry to get through the book or through the chapter or to the next lesson. And we miss more of what God wants to speak to us. So I just encourage you, as you interact with God's word, if there's a verse or a word or a phrase that you feel like is important, wow, God is speaking something here, just stay there. Take a couple days, a couple weeks, a couple months, yes, even a couple years. And soak up all that God wants to teach you through that passage. So we're still in Romans 12. And really, if anybody's, as you walk with Jesus, you know you can never really get out of Romans 12. So Romans 12 starts with this very important word. Everybody together? Therefore. I think every translation starts with therefore, right? Therefore. Romans 12 starts with the word therefore. What a powerful and important word. It says, therefore, in view of God's mercy, of all that he's done. And then he gives this simple phrase. He urges us to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, as our true and proper worship. To offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, that's not a little thing. I mean, is there anything else in your life that you would offer your body as a living sacrifice? That's a pretty big call. So if he's asking us to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, giving up total control completely to him, then there better be some pretty cool stuff before that, therefore. There better be a pretty amazing story before that, therefore, to make the only reasonable conclusion to offer your body as a living sacrifice, right? I mean, it better not be a little thing. It better be a big thing before that, therefore. Otherwise, it's ridiculous to ask people to offer your body as a living sacrifice. Because it says, holy and pleasing to God. Not when we think of holy as perfect. But actually, holy doesn't necessarily mean perfect, as in we have it all together. Holy just means we're holy, with a W, right? Completely, totally. It could be whatever state you want, as long as it's all given. Holy and pleasing. It's pleasing because it's fully, and it's the thing that we prize most, our very selves. So this is the heart of worship. As we talk about the heart of worship, this is what it is. Offering our entire selves. Because we know this God is worthy. And the first 11 chapters, just like the first 3 chapters of Ephesians or the first 2 chapters of Colossians, Paul is reminding us of this incredible story. That the perfect God of heaven came and found us. Us who had rejected him. And he brought us back from death by giving his own life. And then he welcomed us into his palace as his sons and daughters.
I still haven't gotten out of my mind the verse that Rick shared with us last week in our small group. So I'm going to read it. From Titus 3. Sums up the story so well. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. And there's buts. That glorious buts. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy.
He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. It's foolish. So James and John leave their nets. Zacchaeus gives away his money. Mary barges into the house of the respected leader and washes Jesus' feet. Cornelius, the Roman soldier, calls a lowly Jew to his house to teach him. Saul, the murdering terrorist, begins to serve the people he despised. Why do people do these things? The God of Revelation. Power and love of God through Jesus. That any other response was simply foolishness. They all became worshipers, not because someone told them they should, but because they met the one who was worthy of worship. We know that surrender and worship isn't the only response of people when they meet God. Some people hate him or mock him or hide from him. It's like outwardly it always reveals the heart that says, I want to be God. I don't want anything to do with the one who really is God. But that decision to bow and surrender and worship or continue to keep myself as God sets the direction for every other part of our lives. Michelle and I are reading through Romans, and we read this verse in Romans 1 that really struck me again this week. It says, for although they knew God, they had met God. They glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him. Their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like human beings, and animals, and reptiles. The reality is, if we meet God, but we don't surrender and worship, hearts actually become increasingly dark. So what's your story? As I said before, it's never in the history of our church or our country has there been a more important time to keep our hearts in posture. As I said, the only way we're going to get through this is if we worship our way through it. And that's been a powerful call in my own life. And I have given more time in the past couple of weeks than I ever have in a long time to spend time in worship on my face before God or dancing around the sanctuary, as some of you may have seen as you stopped by the church. And as I've done that, I've continued to sense God working deeper than he's worked in a long time in my own heart, touching places that I didn't even know were there and bringing me to a greater sense of peace, security, and joy. And I believe that God is going to do that for every one of us and us together as we continue to give ourselves to worship. The way we can give ourselves to worship is to continue to receive a deeper revelation of love and the power of God. That is the fuel of worship. Knowing God and continuing to encounter him in deeper and deeper ways. So this morning is also World Communion Sunday. And I didn't mention that last week, although I should have. So now you hear it this week at least. So we're going to take communion this morning. And we're going to take it with these little prepared cups. Not my favorite way to take communion. But it's 2020. Nobody gets their favorite way to do anything this year. So we're going to do it as best we can with what we've got. And we're going to ask God, as we take communion together, for a deeper revelation of his power and his love in our lives. Not because we don't know it and because we haven't encountered it, but because right now we're saying, God, we need a fresh revelation. We need it deeper than we've experienced before. Before is not enough, God. We need something deeper. Certainly that continues to be my prayer. For us as a congregation. And I don't think there are many prayers that thrill the heart of God more than that one. That's what we're asking for as we take communion this morning. Take a time of quiet. Thanks, Sandy, for already ushering us into the times of quiet. We're into another time of real quiet. I'm just going to have a little bit of music play softly up here. And, I just want you to just, again, just remind yourself and your heart of what Jesus has done for us. He said, every time you do this in remembrance of me. So I invite you just to take a little time. Remember, if it helps you to picture Jesus in the upper room, Jesus washing his disciples' feet, Jesus being led up the hill, Jesus being crucified, Jesus being laid in a tomb, Jesus rising on the third day, Jesus sending and pouring out his Spirit on us so we could walk in fellowship with him all the days of our life. Just take a minute and just remind ourselves, remind yourself of that story. Thank you, Jesus. And just lift up your hearts and say, yes, Jesus, that is my story. Yes, Jesus, that is my story. And if you're saying that this morning, yes, Jesus, that is my story. And I want to know that story more, God. Holy Spirit, come and reveal to me fresh, deeper revelation of that great story. And in a moment, I'm just going to invite you to grab a little communion cup. There's some back. There's some up here. A couple of the tables over here. There's some on that white table in the back. And just a practical note. I don't know if... you've ever used these things before. It's actually my first time. So there's a little cellophane on the top that has a little wafer. That first and the purple thing is for the juice. So why don't we just take a moment now and everybody that wants to grab off one of these tables, you can, if you or just tap somebody on the shoulder if you want them to grab it for you. Take a second and try to pull up that top cellophane piece. You can get that. And then the bigger little tab is for whatever reason you don't want to use the physical stuff, that's fine. Just soak it up with us here. All right. So as we hold this together, I'm just going to give us some space. And you can eat and drink. We're going to do it all together, but maybe not in the same stroke. You can eat the wafer or drink the juice as you want to here in the next couple of minutes. But again, I just want to remind us that as we take communion, we can focus on a number of different aspects of communion. But this morning, I just want to give us some space to take communion together and be asking Jesus, Jesus, I want a deeper revelation of your love and goodness. Whatever I've known about you up to this point, there's more to know. There's more of my heart to give. There's more of my heart for you to encounter. And there's greater worship that can flow out of my life as you reveal yourself to me. So I'm going to pray that out for us. And then I'm just going to leave some space with a little bit of music playing here. And just over the next couple minutes, just feel free to eat the wafer and drink the juice. Again, with that prayer, Jesus, would you reveal yourself deeper to me in this space? So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we do have a God of grace and glory, of love and kindness that we cannot imagine. We say, yes, there is no end to your goodness. There is no end to your love. There is no end to your greatness. And so there is no end to the depth of worship that can flow from our lives, God. And we confess, whatever our depth of worship has been, there is more that can flow from our lives. And so as we join with the church around the world this morning in remembering this simple practice, our prayer, God, is that you would reveal fresh things to us this morning. Goodness and love would touch new places of our hearts, and it would cause new springs of worship to open up within us, God. We can worship you in ways and places that we never had before. Would you do that in our hearts, God? Would you do that in our hearts? So let's just spend a couple moments with that prayer. Sandy said, even when you don't have words, just with your heart open before God, longing to know more of Him. And then feel free to eat and drink as you desire, and I'll bring us back together. your great love for us. And thank you that you know how to reveal it to each one of us right in the places where we are, God. And our confession this morning, God, is that we just want to know that more. So worship and life and hope and peace exude from everything that we do, God. We honor you, God. In Jesus' name. Yeah. I have a closing song and then I'll come and conclude.
Transition from that place of being with Jesus. Before I even started playing that song, I just was picturing being buried at his feet. Tears are just the overwhelming of his presence. They don't have to be tears of shame and guilt anymore. It's just the overwhelming of his love. Like Troy said, we're all going to experience that and even show it differently. But thank you that there's grace and there's freedom to express however he ministers to us in that way, in that depth of his love. But it does make a difference in our focus on worship, and it's not just something we do. It's who we are because of what he did. That's why we worship. He took the hard part. You know, he gave us a new spirit. Our old man is dead. The rest of us is working in the process, but he gave us a new spirit. Even though this closing song says he set my spirit free, I question, like, we don't have to ask him to do that. He's done it. We receive what he's done. And that's why I did the second verse that declares that he has set me free. We will choose to let bondage go and let his deliverance continue to flow. So let that be your heart and prayer to him this morning.
pray as we close. Yes, Lord, that is our faith and our prayer, that you would continue to set us free, to love you and to worship you in deeper ways than we have before. Thank you for this beautiful morning to be together with you and with each other. And may our lives continue to resound the song of praise that all creation is singing, Lord, in all the places that we are and the situations where we find ourselves. So may God be gracious to you and bless you, make his face shine on you, and give you peace.